understand what the problem is, but we have a very real enemy who hates us. And it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. He hates God, and he wants to destroy anything and everything that God loves or is a part of. And so we have a real enemy. Know your enemy. Know his tricks. Know his tactics. And we talked about some of those are manipulation. Then we also talk about division. Anyone ever seen division happen in a church? It's a trick of the enemy, isn't it? If he can divide us, we're not as strong if we're not together, right? If he can get a few people by themselves, he can take them out way easier. So division is a trick of the enemy. And then I also felt like God laid on my heart to talk about justice, which is different. But how many of you know that we don't deserve what God has given us? We deserve to be judged. And so the enemy will try to get you to focus on that. You're not worthy. You don't deserve it. You're not good enough. And all you got to say is, you're right. I'm not. But God is, and his mercy and his grace is enough for me. So don't ever let him trick you into not doing what God wants you to do because you are not good enough. Amen? And then the next week, Pastor Joe talked about know your role. Everybody has a part to play. And if you ever look at a military, if somebody's not in position, what is going to happen? It'll fall apart, especially it'll start right in that spot too. The enemy will find that weak spot, and that's where the enemy is going to come through. Everybody has a role, and the same is in the family of God. We all have something to do in the body of Christ. And if we choose not to do it for whatever reason, it creates a weak spot, and the enemy sees it, and he'll go for that spot. So let's know our role. Let's be where God put us to be. Let's do what God's called us to do. Pastor Joe also talked about four things. You need to know your training, your armor, your location, and you need to know how to pray. And so, church, sometimes I hear people say, well, I just don't like to pray in front of people. Well, guess what? I don't like to talk in front of people. So I'm going to tell you, get over it. At least I had to, so why don't you have to, right? I understand it can be intimidating, it can be scary. And you may not know what to say, but it's okay because it's not about you. And so as the body of Christ, we need to know how to communicate with our Father. And we need to grow and learn how to do it in front of other people. I understand you may not be able to right at the beginning, but keep pushing yourself. And keep trying because God will help you to do it. And don't give up because that's another trick of the enemy, right? And you don't know how to do that. You're not good enough. You're going to stumble over your words. So what? Sometimes when I talk to a person, I stutter over my words. Doesn't mean I stop talking to people, right? So it's okay. Learn how to pray. And Pastor Joe talked about there's two types. There's many types, but the two he focused on was supplication, where you're making requests and saying, God, I need your help. Now, that is not us saying, God, this is what you need to do, 1, 2, and 3. But saying, I need help, and I'm going to keep seeking you until you bring the provision, however you need to bring that. Supplication. But then church, a type of prayer that we don't often think about and maybe don't do as often as we should is, I was going to call it declaration. I don't think that's what he used. What word did he use? Yeah, declaration. So declaring things, and that's where God has given you his word. And you get the word inside of you, and then you declare it. You stand on it. You activate it in your life. And then the enemy doesn't have any room to come in and take things from you because you're declaring what God has already spoken over you. So if you missed either of those sermons, I encourage you, they are on the live stream on our website. Go back and watch them. And then today, we are going to talk about know your flesh. Everyone say, uh-oh. This is never a fun topic. Nobody likes to talk about their flesh, right? But it's necessary. And so that's what we are going to talk about today. And so I want to do a little foundation. There are three parts to us. Just like God has three parts, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We have three parts, but we can't see all of them, right? So we are body. That's the part we can see. We are soul inside of us. and we are spirit, which is also inside of us. So we are going to talk about all three of those today, so stay with me. And I think it's interesting that when Paul talks about these, he says it the exact opposite. So that's the way I put it up here. He talks about spirit, soul, and body. So I think he's putting the emphasis on the most important part, which is the spirit. Whenever I've said it, I said body, soul, spirit. He says spirit, soul, and body. So I think the spirit is the most important. So the spirit within us comes from God. The Bible is very clear that our spirit, when we die, will go back to God. The spirit is the life within us, the breath within us. But when we are not saved, that spirit, it has given us life, we have breath, but the spirit is dead or dormant within us. It can't do anything until we allow God to regenerate or refresh it within us. And then it comes alive and it wants to lead us. But it's our choice whether we follow or not. And whatever we feed is going to get stronger. So if we feed that spirit, if we're reading, if we're praying, if we're getting together with other Christians and having good conversations, that spirit's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And that is what is supposed to happen in the life of a Christian. So we have the spirit within us. The soul is the part within us. I heard a minister relate it to, it's like the black box on an airplane. It has all the information, right? So the airplane goes down, all the information's in that black box. That's how our soul is. Our soul is the part that needs saving. You ever heard the phrase, the saving of the soul? So that's our mind, how we think, how we process things. It is our will, which is our desires, what we want to do. It is your mind, it is your will, and it is your emotions. So all of those feelings. And if we let God save our soul, all of those things will begin to be transformed different than they were before. So I'll begin to think differently. I'll begin to desire different things. And even this part, church, I can feel different. My emotions can react differently when I've let God transform me from the inside out and save my soul. So sometimes I think we say that we're saved, but is there evidence that we're saved? Have we changed? Has there been a difference in our lives? Because there should be. If God has saved our soul, it should be different within us. And then, as I said before, our body is the easy one. That is our flesh. That is decaying, young people. I hate to tell you this. Your body is dying. So from the time you are born to die, right? And as the older I get, the less I like it. Your skin's getting older, your wrinkles, your hair's changing, different colors are falling out for some of you. So your body is dying. And the Bible says the body goes back to the dust of the ground because it was formed from the dust of the earth. So those are the three parts of who we are, of our makeup. And when we talk about the flesh in the Bible, I believe that God is combining, it's the body, but also the soul, because it is our nature. When he talks about flesh, that is the nature of who you are. So it's your old man or your old flesh. So let's look at a few scriptures in 2 Corinthians 4, 7. It says, but we have this treasure. What is the treasure? The treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the good news that we have been given. And it's this beautiful treasure, but it's put within this earthen vessel. Why? So the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That when people look at us, they'll know, like, you're just a person. How can you do that? How can you know that? Because God? Because he gave me the gift, he gave me the treasure, he gave me the talent. And anything we have is meant to bring glory back to him. So it is within our earthen vessel that he wants us to carry it out. Otherwise, he could just let us die as soon as we get saved and go to heaven, right? But no, he wants us to do it here on earth through our body, through our physical being here on earth to impact those around us. Let's look at that next scripture. Oh, that one's really small. I'm going to have to go up here. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. or it has desires that are opposite of the desires of the spirit. So as we talk about spiritual warfare, it's easy to understand God and Satan, right? And they're fighting against each other. But within us, there is a spiritual warfare of the flesh against the spirit. And it is this fight within you. How many of you have ever said, man, I didn't want to do that, but yet I did it? Because it's this fight within you, a turmoil that is taking place. And so he says they lust or they have desires against each other, and they are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you want to do. When you get saved, you want to follow God. You want to follow the Spirit. You want to do the right thing and live according to the Word of God. But there are times we fall short, and that's because our flesh is too strong. Everyone say, I need to crucify my flesh. Let's say it one more time like you mean it. I need to crucify my flesh. The stronger your flesh is, the more that's going to happen. I want to do the right thing, but I don't. Because you need to crucify your flesh. Now, the more we learn to walk in the Spirit, the less that will happen. We can say, man, I wanted to do the right thing, and I did it. I wanted to obey God, and I did. I wanted to do what the Word of God said, and I did. Because you've fed that spirit man, and you've increased him in your life. And that's so very important. If you look at Galatians 5:16, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I want to remind you of something that we've been saying every week, is the Christian life is not a playground. Does anyone remember what? It is a battlefield. So sometimes we just want to go through the day and think, I just want to have an easy day. I just don't want to do anything hard. I just want to enjoy life, right? But when we have that mentality, that is a fleshly mentality, that I just want to take it easy. I just want to veg out all day. I just want to binge watch Netflix for 7 days. And what that does is it feeds your flesh, and it makes that flesh stronger and stronger and stronger. And you're playing games in the middle of a war field. And then we wonder why, when the attack comes, we're not prepared. And we can't withstand it because we've been feeding the flesh and not the spirit. So there's just 3 points I want to make today. And I want you to think about each one as we talk about them. And there's many more, but these are the 3 that God highlighted to me this week. There are 3 opposing postures of the flesh. 3 choices. Are you this or are you this? And the first one is humility versus pride. Your flesh can be humbled, or it can be prideful. So I want you to think about your own life for a minute. We're not going to ask for a raise of hands. But think of your life, and I want to do it this way. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you say you fall on humility? And if you're taking notes, I highly recommend taking notes. Write it down. Humility, where do I fall? 1, really no humility at all, or 10, I am. And humility is about, let's remind about the definition. It's a modest or low view of your importance. So it's not about letting people run over you. It's about saying, I value other people. I care about other people. I care about myself too, but my importance is low, and I put importance on other people. The definition of pride is feeling satisfaction from one's own achievements. Let me ask this question. How many of you, because sometimes our words betray us, and maybe we don't even realize it. How many of you have ever told your child, I'm proud of you? I have. We need to be careful. What does that mean? Does it mean their achievements are so important that that's what we find value in? What they've done? instead of who they are? What did God say to Jesus? He didn't say, I'm proud of you. What did he say? I'm well pleased with you. Because you were obedient, because you followed my plan, because you did what you were supposed to do, not because you had any importance of your own, but because you did what I called you to do. And that's where the value should lie. When we talk to our children, it is important that we recognize when they do something good, you know, great job. And I'm not saying we can't say we're proud of them, but what does it mean to us? Is it puffing us up? And we're thinking, well, look at us because our children did this. Look at us because of their accomplishments. Or are we well pleased because they're following God's plan for their life, which is far more important? Too many times we focus on the wrong things, and that is a fleshly thing. It's great, you know, I've enjoyed watching my children play sports, but at the end of the day, I would rather see them quote a scripture than get a goal in soccer. If they can do both, great. But if they have to choose, I want to choose the thing that's far more important and is spiritual and not fleshly. Right? Does that make sense? So let's be careful about where we are following. Are we following the flesh into pride, or are we following the spirit into a place of humility? Are we teaching our children to do the same? To humble themselves and to not be prideful? What about our coworkers at work? How would they describe us? As humility or as prideful? So those are things to think about. What is the posture of your flesh? The second thing I want to look at is being teachable versus all-knowing. We know it all. I'll tell you one of the most embarrassing things, and this has happened to me far more than I care to admit, is when you step out and you're like, no, this is what it is, right? To correct something, and then you're wrong. And you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said anything. That was not right at all. So our spirit man is going to teach us to be teachable, to learn, to listen more than we talk, especially in prayer when you're talking to God. If you're talking to the wisest man on earth, do you think you should spend the whole time telling him your life story? Or would you rather spend the time asking his life story? And the same thing with God. Instead of spending all the time doing the talking, God, what do you have to say? Are we teachable? Are we able to take instruction? Because our flesh won't want that. Our flesh wants to say, oh, I already know. I already know this. I don't need to listen to this part. I could tell you. You don't need to tell me. But the Spirit will lead us into a place of being teachable, where we can learn something and grow. Amen? So let's look at a scripture. And that's 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So I hate to break it to you, but as long as you're on this earth, you will never know everything. When we get to heaven, it says, then I'll know as I'm known. But as long as we're here, there's always something more to learn. We're never going to have it all figured out. Even when I look at a scripture, have you ever done that where you've looked at a scripture and you thought you knew what it meant? And then a year later, you read it and you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't see that before. You're never going to know it all. And so there's something about coming from an atmosphere of being teachable and saying, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to hear what you have to say and not just expect that I already have the answer. Did anyone remember Pastor Joe's illustration last Sunday? Was Grace here? I don't think she's here. Chase, was that the boy's name? So Pastor Joe said, can someone do 10 push-ups? And Chase's like, I can. And he thought he knew what Pastor Joe was wanting, right? And he came up to do his 10 push-ups, but Pastor Joe said, now wait a minute, it's going to be on my count. So was Chase teachable? Absolutely. He didn't say, no, I know how to do push-ups. I've learned how to do push-ups. You're wrong, and this is the way that they're supposed to be done. He was teachable. He said, okay, I'll do them that way then. And he did actually almost 20 push-ups because of the count that Pastor Joe gave him. And I told him he did a great job because I never could have done that. I would not have been raising my hand to volunteer for that job at all, but he did an excellent job. But are we that way, that even if we think we know what it's supposed to look like, how it's supposed to be done, are we willing to do it different? And I want to ask you to think of that with God. When you think you know what the next step is, what the future is, are you willing to say, God, this is what I think, but if it's something different, I'm still going to follow? You can teach me, you can show me whatever you want to. Because in actuality, I don't know. I don't know. I can think I know, but I don't know what the next step holds. So on a scale of 1 to 10, and if you're taking notes, you can write down the word teachable. Evaluate yourself and say from a 1 to a 10, how teachable am I? And can I tell you that the more we learn to be teachable, the better your relationships are going to be? Spouses, can I hear an amen? When you think you already know how it needs to work and how it needs to be done, it can be frustrating for people trying to work with you, right? So being teachable is very important, but that's not what our flesh wants. That has to be done through the Spirit. And the last one I want to talk about is being hungry for God versus hungry for the things of the world. And the scripture here is Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, if you hunger and thirst for the things of the world, will you also be filled? Will it ever satisfy? No. But the righteousness will bring satisfaction. Is that a word? Satisfaction, that's the word. Satisfaction. See, I'm teachable. Thank you. When you hunger for the things of God, it'll bring a contentment into your life. It'll bring a peace into your life. You will feel like it's enough. But when you hunger after the things of the world, you will always keep seeking more. It'll never be enough, never good enough. No matter how much money you make, no matter how many cars you drive, no matter how good your house is, it'll never be enough. You'll always want something more. It'll satisfy for a very short time, and then it's something else. But when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. And that is following the Spirit. That is learning to crucify the flesh, that it doesn't matter what my flesh wants, what my flesh desires, I'm going to follow after the things of God instead. I'm going to seek His kingdom first. We've been talking about the culture, kingdom culture. I'm going to walk in the kingdom culture of God, and that's where I will find satisfaction. That's where I will be content. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how hungry are you for the things of God? 1 being, I don't even think about it too much. Or 10, like, I am desperate, and it's on my mind almost all the time. Where do you fall in that place? Because that is a difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. And so on those scales, if you wrote them down or thought about them in your head, anything like under a 5 means your flesh is still pretty strong. Your spirit man isn't as strong as it could be. And so what does that mean? You're just stuck? I mean, you're just a lost cause? No. It means you crucify the flesh. It means you seek after the things of God. It means you choose to do something different. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If you just keep living life the same way you're living life and you expect to grow spiritually and you haven't yet, you're not gonna. You got to do something different. And that's crucifying the flesh and learning to walk in the Spirit. Church, it doesn't come naturally. This is not going to come naturally to us because our nature is our flesh. That's what's natural. It's natural for me to say, I don't want to go to church on Sunday morning. I want to sleep in. Why would I get up when I could sleep till 12 o'clock today? That's our nature. Except for when you get older and you got to wake up at like 6 a.m. whether you want to or not. That becomes more natural, right? But those teenagers who want to sleep all day, that's your nature. It's your flesh. So it takes discipline to say, I'm not going to give in to my flesh. I'm going to choose to do the right thing. I'm going to seek after righteousness. And that's when that begins to grow in your life. Have you guys ever seen a house remodeled? Anybody, raise your hand if you've ever been part of a remodel, helped with a remodel, did a remodel. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Okay. So our house that we live in now, it actually hasn't changed too much on the outside. We didn't change the structure of the outside. We didn't change even any siding. So from the outside, it looks pretty much the same. But inside our house, it's completely different. We even, there was a door that had a wall that we changed. We moved a sink. We just changed a lot of stuff. And so our neighbor walked in when we first moved in like 10 years ago. And he said every person that had owned our house, he always asks to come in and walk through it and see what it looks like. And he walked in, he's like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He's like, oh, there used to be a wall there. Oh, the sink used to be over there. Oh, and he was pointing out all the differences inside that house. Because he had seen the change from year to year to year. And so I want you to think about in your life, the people who have seen you, who know you from year to year to year, do they see any transformation going on inside of you? They may not notice too much different on the outside, right? Unless you go and like color your hair pink or something. But are they noticing things changing on the inside? Because God is wanting us to continually learn more and more how to walk in the Spirit. And that makes a transformation in our soul, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions. They begin to change. We talk differently. We think differently. We feel differently. Things that maybe upset you 10 years ago shouldn't upset you the same anymore. Right? The way you responded to something 5 years ago shouldn't be the same way you respond now if you're learning to walk in the Spirit. So we have to know what is the condition of our flesh and what is God wanting to do in it. I have one last scripture I want to read today, and it's Romans 8:7. And it says, the carnal mind, our fleshly way of thinking, is enmity or an enemy against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. And so, church, here's the cold, hard truth. When we are walking in the flesh, we are not only an enemy with the Spirit that is within us, that is trying to draw us closer to God, but we are actually an enemy to God Himself. The flesh will never want to do what God wants you to do. And so it is so important for us to know what our flesh is and how to discipline it, how to correct it so that we can follow the things of God. And this week, as I was just praying over this service and thinking about things, God just kind of gave me some words to share. I actually, how many of you guys keep a notepad so when God speaks to you, you can write it down? Anybody? Raise your hand if you do. Because that should not be abnormal for a Christian. God should be speaking to you, and you should be ready to record at any time. So I want to encourage you from now on to do that, to keep something. And so I was driving, so I always keep, my phone's always with me, right? So I do my speak to text so it can write stuff down for me. And I encourage you to seek God to do that. Like, God, speak to me, and I'll be ready to hear whatever you have to say. So I wrote this down, and I wanted to share exactly how I felt like God gave it to me. When we're talking about our flesh, so it doesn't matter what we like or dislike or what our opinion is. Those things come from our carnal self. We need to ask, what does God want? If we are leaving a church service and talking about how we didn't like a song that was sung, this is a good one for today because we sing a lot of new songs. So if any of you guys have conversations in your car afterwards, like, man, I really didn't like that song. I didn't know they were doing a bunch of new songs when I put this down. So, but if you leave talking about the song or the temperature or what was wrong with the sermon, that it lasted too long, that is all just carnality. That is all carnality. That has nothing to do with the Spirit at all. The question we should be asking is if God was pleased with the service, and was he pleased with our part in the service? Paul said he was crucified with Christ, and it was no longer him living, but Christ living through him. Have we truly been crucified with Christ? How much is Christ living through you? I want you to think about that for a minute. In your day-to-day life, how much is Christ living through you? Does your boss see it? Does your coworker see it? Do your children see it? There's a big test. Does your spouse see Christ living through you? How much is Christ living through you? If he is living in us, we should constantly be transformed in the way we think, in the way we speak, and in the things we do. If we are thinking, speaking, and behaving the same way we did a year ago, there is something wrong with our transformation and crucification process. I don't know why I feel like I never get fun scripts or fun sermons to preach. I always get the, oh, nobody wants to talk about this stuff. Church is so important because this is where growth happens. It's not in the shouting sermons. It's not in the feel-good sermons. Growth happens when we dig into the Word and say, God, I want you to change me. I'm willing to do things different. That's where growth takes place. That's where maturing takes place. And I don't want to be a church that is the same 10 years from now as it is right now. I want us to be a church that is constantly digging deeper into God, letting him transform us so that we are ready to do whatever he needs us to do. I believe the power of God is going to hit this place. Are we ready for it? Are we going to be able to handle it? Are we going to be able to host his presence, because our flesh can't. Our flesh cannot handle the presence of God. So we have to know how to walk in the Spirit. We have to be living in the Spirit if we want to see God do the miracles that he's promised he could do. If we want to see our schools changed, if we want to see our towns changed, if we want to see the prodigals come back, then we got to know how to walk in the Spirit and how to live in the Spirit. So I don't know about you all, but I'm not content to just play church. I'm not content to just show up on a Sunday morning and not think about it again until the next Sunday. This is a life that I live, that God is consuming my thoughts most of every day, that I've given him permission to interrupt my day at any time, no matter what I'm doing, because I want to walk in the Spirit. And so Wednesday, we're going to talk more about how to crucify the flesh. We're going to talk about fasting, another popular scripture that everybody loves. But today I just want to give you the opportunity to spend time with God and to let Him dig deep into you. And those three things we talked about, have a chat with Him about your humility. You put down where you thought you were, now ask Him where does He think you are? How is your humility according to God? How teachable are you according to God? And how hungry are you for Him according to His perspective? Because actually what we think about ourselves isn't always the truth. But what's more important is what God thinks about us. So as they come back to the music, I want you to ask yourself those three things. Humility, teachability, and hunger for God. And just allow God to speak to you and show you. If you're struggling with those areas, then what does He want you to do? How does He want to transform you? Because, church, we don't fix ourselves. We don't have to make it right. We just have to submit to His process and give Him permission to do a work in our lives. And I always want to say, if there's anyone here who isn't living for Christ, who your spirit man hasn't even come alive in you yet, please come and talk to me because I want to pray with you, because that is the first step and the best decision you can ever make, and it will transform your entire life. The best decision you can ever make. So as I play, I encourage everybody, get out of your comfort zone. Your flesh will want you to stay seated. Your flesh will want to make it easy for you. Don't let your flesh win. So find a spot that may be a little uncomfortable for you. If you're used to kneeling, I encourage you to stand. If you're used to standing, I encourage you to kneel. If you do both, I encourage you to walk the building and pray. Do something to get out of your comfort zone and crucify your flesh and say, you don't get to control me. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And I encourage you to find a place to pray and ask God those three things and let Him truly speak to you about humility, teachability, and your hunger for God.